On Wednesday's front page, Mitt Romney said he does pay taxes. He said his tax rate is about 15%, which is less than it would be if his earnings came from wages rather than dividends and gains on investments. He's also promising to release his 2011 tax return. Can the world live without Wikipedia for one day? We'll find out. And Croatia is no longer sure that joining the European Union will be a passport to prosperity. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says Mitt Romney said his effective tax rate is probably about 15%. He said that's what his tax return will show when he releases it in April. That's far less than if his earnings were wages rather than gains from investments and dividends. Romney had refused to release the information despite pressure from the other Republican candidates. Financial disclosure forms show he made $374,000 in speaking fees last year. He said, his words now, that was not very much. Even without the rest of Romney's income, that much money would catapult most people into the top 1%. Here in New York, four Republican state senators who voted for same-sex marriage picked up thousands in donations from gay rights advocates. State Senator Stephen Celan collected $425,000 in the 6 months after the vote last year. That was nearly nine times more than he took in the same period the year before. State Senator Mark Grisanti took in $325,000 after the vote. He took in less than $2,000 in the last 6 months of 2010. Among Celan's contributors were Hollywood producer J.J. Abrams, Broadway producer Daryl Roth, and former Solicitor General Theodore Olson. He's leading a challenge to a same-sex marriage ban in California. Can the world live without Wikipedia just for one day? We'll find out. Wikipedia is shutting down access to its English-language articles for 24 hours. Wikipedia is joining an online protest against two bills in Congress that would limit the illegal downloading and streaming of television shows and movies. Times reporter Brian Stelter says the tech industry is worried media companies will end up with too much power over websites.
And media companies love SOPA because the legislation is intended to curb online piracy, all the content that's being stolen. Well, a lot of internet companies hate it. They think this will essentially break the internet or at least censor parts of the internet, make it a lot harder for them to do business. So it's really media companies versus internet companies. And Wikipedia, I think, is going to be educating people by making the site go dark for a day and explaining what SOPA is. We'll see if this pulls the bills back more, maybe pushes them forward if there's some kind of compromise reach in Washington. But in the meantime, this is really educational for the average American.
Times reporter Brian Stelter. Wednesday's front page also says Croatia is wavering on whether to join the European Union. A vote is scheduled for next Sunday. A lot has changed in the decade since Croatia first applied. Back then, the EU looked like a ticket to prosperity. Now some Croatian farmers worry the EU will force them to buy expensive upgrades of equipment that's fine as is. Some Croatian egg farmers are worried Italians will undercut their prices. Times reporter Matt Richtel says it's become fashionable for young people to show their affection for one another by sharing their passwords. Boyfriends and girlfriends let each other read their private emails and texts. It's more intimate than exchanging class rings or ID bracelets, but it's also risky because if a relationship goes sour, one knows secrets he or she can use against the other. More states are looking to legalize online gambling. For most, raising revenue remains the draw. But some officials wonder whether profits from internet play will actually put a dent in deficits. Iowa released a study last month which found legalizing online poker might net as little as $3 million a year. That's far less than the estimates from private gaming companies. In California, supporters of online poker say it would bring in $250 million a year. That's a lot of money, but it's only a fraction of California's $9.2 billion deficit. Inside Wednesday's Times, rescuers pulled five bodies from the partly sunken cruise liner Costa Concordia. That brought the death toll to at least 11. The Italian news media published transcripts of a screaming match between the Coast Guard and the captain, who fled to a lifeboat after he smashed the ship on a reef. The European Court of Human Rights overruled Britain on a terrorism suspect. The court said Abu Qatada cannot be deported to his native Jordan because a trial there would be tainted by evidence obtained by torture. Qatada is a radical Islamic preacher who's considered one of al-Qaeda's spiritual leaders in Europe. He's now in prison in Britain. He's already been convicted in Jordan of planning 2 bombing attacks. Greek Prime Minister Loukas Papademos is taking aim at hedge funds that hold Greek debt. He's considering legislation that would force creditors to take losses on their holdings if the government can't work out an agreement in negotiations that resume on Wednesday. Papademos also called on Greek legislators to pass economic measures that foreign lenders are demanding in exchange for bailout money. He said vested interests with political connections had blocked changes needed to revive the economy. In Wednesday's sports pages, a look at the odd couple that traveled 1,500 miles in the Arctic. Eric Boomer and John Turk hardly knew each other before they set out in a kayak. They went around Canada's Ellesmere Island. It took them 104 days. Boomer says he learned that when a friendly Arctic wolf traipses into camp, let him sleep where he pleases. He also says that when your traveling partner goes into kidney failure, that's when you call for a medevac. In Wednesday's dining section, a popular chef has diabetes. That has some people saying, "I told you so." Paula Deen's announcement that she has type 2 diabetes has added to the debate about the nation's diet. Now she has a multi-platform endorsement deal with a pharmaceutical company. It makes medication for diabetics. That's our preview of Wednesday's Times. This year, the New York Times Neediest Cases Fund is celebrating its 100th anniversary. You can read about what the Neediest Cases Fund has done for people in the New York area who need help. Go to nytimes.com/neediest. From our newsroom in New York, I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.